The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, normally I kick off the show with a little football news because tonight we got Minnesota and the LA Rams or whatever's going on in college football. But I really wanted to start with baseball because it is getting really hot in the National League. The Rockies have now taken over first place in the NL West. Our Dodgers, Ron Culver, are a game ahead of St. Louis in the wild card. So you're safe for now in the wild card race. But Milwaukee clinched a playoff berth yesterday for the first time in 2011. The Cubs are in the postseason. Atlanta clinched last weekend. We got the West to determine. We got the Cardinals still a game behind in the wild card, so there's still a chance there. The American League with the Yankees and the A's in the wild card matchup, we just haven't really figured out whether or not who's going to play, where that game is going to be. The Astros are going to take on the Cleveland Indians in round one. Boston will get the winner of the Yankees and the A's. We are just a few days away from wrapping up the regular season. But last night, in his final start, Jacob DeGrom tossed 8 scoreless innings. And get this, he has wrapped up the season with an ERA of 1.70. 1.70. And yet, his record is like 10-9. That's
10
incredible.
10 wins, that's going to hurt him.
10 wins, 9 losses with an ERA of under 2. How insane is that? But he's the Jacob DeGrom Cy Young, despite the record, train is now loaded with people. Everybody's now commenting on it. Everybody thinks he should win the Cy Young. That's great. Because where were you a couple of weeks ago when we were screaming that, when everybody was talking about analytics and saying, it's about wins and losses. No, it's about dominating, and he dominated, and his team's terrible. That's it. Jacob DeGrom should win the Cy Young going away. Baseball is heating up, but football is still front and foremost in our minds. Tonight, Minnesota against the LA Rams. But coming up next, I want to talk about what's going on at Clemson, because there's a larger story that's going on there that's going to change the power dynamics in college football. And I don't know if there are coaches out there that are ready for this tsunami. I'll tell you about it next on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so in the offseason, the NCAA created a rule that said that if you are a player and you play four games or less in a season that you could redshirt and save a year of eligibility. And so, you know, that was seen as, all right, this is a nice step, right? You know, players want to play. Sometimes they get trapped in these situations where they can't play. And I think some coaches sort of embraced it because they could see where they could pick a player or two who may be dissatisfied with what's going on at the particular school. But also those same coaches that realized, oh, I can get player A if he loses a starting job or something's going on. I can get him and get a year of eligibility from him. We're also worried that maybe, just maybe, some of their players would end up having to leave the program if they too were dissatisfied. And that's what's going on at Clemson. The power dynamic is now shifting in college football in terms of the player-coach relationship. And the players with this rule are getting a little bit more power. Look at the case of Kelly Bryant, who is the starting quarterback, waiting for Deshaun Watson to head off to the NFL, then took over the Clemson starting job, went 12-2 as a starter last year. But when Trevor Lawrence arrived, and he has a gun of an arm, big kid, fires that ball like a rifle, Kelly Bryant lost his starting job. And rightfully so, to be honest with you. This kid, Trevor Lawrence, is a one-in-a-generation type of talent. He flings that thing like, I mean, he just is great. He's absolutely great. And as a South Carolina Gamecock, and who wants nothing good to happen to the Clemson Tigers, what they've got in Trevor Lawrence is fantastic. But Kelly Bryant tried to keep his starting job, couldn't keep his starting job. That job now goes to the true freshman. So what did Bryant do? He announced, I'm redshirting, I'm getting out of here, and I'm going to keep my year of eligibility, and I'm going to go somewhere else. Now, Dabo Swinney, who I like, by the way, was disappointed that Bryant would leave the program, of course. But what I really like about what Dabo did here was that in the game against Georgia Tech, he said, I have a quarterback that I got to use. And I'm going to use him, and I'm going to let it be kind of known that this kid is going to be the starter four games in, almost giving Bryant the option. Here's Dabo Swinney talking about Kelly Bryant and what he means to the program and transferring out.
Saddened and disappointed that he's chosen to leave the team, but I really have absolutely nothing bad that I can say about Kelly Bryant. He's one of the best young people I've ever been around. And even though I don't think this is a great decision, I certainly respect it. And it doesn't change anything that I feel for Kelly.
All right. So he understands the decision. He doesn't like it. Of course he doesn't like it, because if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, he doesn't have Kelly Bryant as a backup, a real legitimate college football Division I championship level starter. He doesn't have that. But let me say this, to Dabo's credit, he could have played this completely differently. He absolutely could have played this differently. He could have, in the game against Georgia Tech, brought in Lawrence to play against Georgia Tech. The offense was kind of stagnant. You go up against Georgia Tech, you're going up against a running option team that milks the clock, right? That's how Georgia Tech beats you when they beat you. They run the ball down your throat and they use up minute after minute after minute after minute when they have the offense, when they're on offense. So you're Clemson, he puts in Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence throws three touchdown passes. They excel in the second half, and they move away, and they beat Georgia Tech. Okay. Now, Dabo could have read the tea leaves on this, and he could have said, all right, look, I've got this game coming up against Syracuse. I'm going to announce that Bryant is going to be my starter. Kelly Bryant's going to be my starter. Okay? I'm going to say nothing's changed here. All right? Trevor Lawrence may have come off the bench, but this is Kelly Bryant's team. What would have happened? Kelly Bryant goes to practice. He works out with the first team offense. A game against Syracuse comes up. He starts. Okay? Trevor Lawrence, who's a better quarterback, comes in that game, does whatever he does. Clemson goes on to win. Game 6 on the season, Swinney announced Trevor Lawrence is the starter. What does that do? Well, it traps Kelly Bryant at Clemson. All right? This is the strategy, that if you want to keep a kid through your championship level run, right, this is the strategy you would use if you were a head coach. Convince the kid he's playing, convince the kid he's starting. He goes, okay, great, I still have the starting job, plays the fifth week of the season. Oops, he can't redshirt anymore, and you have him for the rest of the year. Dabo was asked about this, and to his credit, he said, that's not what we do. Making the decision to go with Trevor Lawrence four games removed into the season means he has left the door open for the option of Kelly Bryant to leave the program. And while he doesn't like it, and I don't expect him to like it, while he is disappointed, and I don't expect him to be anything but, when you're the head coach of a football team, you do not want to think that another place is better. He did leave this door open for Bryant to go into. Now, Ron, you have a son who is a baseball player, right? You talked about this about your son. There's a travel team. There were two different types of coaches.
Yep.
And we had this conversation. Look, when you are a young kid, when you are an athlete, when you are trying to maximize your playing ability, right? Wouldn't it have been awful if your son was on a team where there was an agenda or there were kids that are playing for different reasons other than the best of the best of the best, right? Coaches use kids in different ways. They're more subjective to certain parents, et cetera, et cetera. So even at the young age, you want to make sure that whatever team your kids are on, that they're maximizing their ability. They're in a situation where they're developing as a player, and they're going to be able to use that development on the field, right? Not sit on the bench because of some agenda, even though they might be better than Johnny, right? But the coach, Johnny's parents like the coach and they go out to coffee every morning, right? If you're a college football player, it's the same kind of deal. Like, Kelly Bryant has no reason to say, listen, I sat on the bench for 2 years behind Deshaun Watson, and then I get to start my junior year. I went 12-2. Another kid comes in. He's better. He's done his job. I still want to play college football. No school should tell me I can't play college football. So I get to go play somewhere else. He's maximizing his option. When I hear people criticize players who are doing this, you made a commitment to the team. No. I got to be honest with you. This is Kelly Bryant Incorporated. He's the president of Kelly Bryant Incorporated. And he doesn't get these years back. Just like if your son was playing on a travel baseball team and didn't play for whatever reason, you knew he was better. You're like, he's better. He's got a better arm. He's got a better bat. I don't know why he's not playing. He doesn't get those years back. Right? You got to maximize your ability to use your talent, even if it's not at school A, but instead it's at school B. I mean, who wants to graduate college and finish out their season on the bench to a freshman? No, go somewhere else and continue to play college football. You only get this once in your life. I mean, I don't know if Kelly Bryant heads to the NFL or not, or I don't know. But this is it in terms of college ball. This is it. And he's going to sit on the bench and wait for Trevor Lawrence to get hurt? No, you leave and go play your college football.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get a starting gig somewhere else.
Yeah.
What? I mean, he worked his tail off to get to get a college scholarship. And then, he started off great this year.
Yeah, he did.
He was undefeated, 4-0. Or was he 4-0 or 3-0? That's the only part I'm confused about.
Yeah, they're 4-0. But they...
Because you can play four games. You can't play five.
You can't play five. You play four games.
And he's done everything that's been asked of him. Clemson is, what, number three in the country?
Three in the nation.
And... You know, and then all of a sudden just to be told, like, hey, we're going to go with the younger kid because there's probably more potential. There's more upside. Maybe not this year they'll compete for a national championship, but if we get this guy enough reps next year, we're going to be unstoppable. And, that's what Dabo needs to do. He needs to think of the longevity of the team. The program comes first. But for Kelly Bryant, I mean, all of a sudden you're going to be relegated to sitting on a bench when you've worked your tail off to be a college football player. And let's face it, he may never play in the pros. So this is it.
This is it. I mean, why would you finish out your college career watching a freshman take your job and play better at it?
Holding a clipboard.
Trevor Lawrence.
And hoping for him to get injured. I mean, you don't want that.
I know. Exactly. You don't want to be the guy going, please break an ankle or tear an ACL. You know, here's the thing. I went to South Carolina. I root for the Gamecocks. Nothing makes me happier than the demise of the Clemson Tigers, which has not been the case over the last couple of years. They got this kid that is going to beat South Carolina every single time he plays them. This kid, Trevor Lawrence, is going to tear up South Carolina's defense. This kid's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. And unless they figure it out, it's going to be a long haul. You just can't put that kid and bottle him up. You can't over some loyalty. Dabo Swinney has to do what's best for the team, and Trevor Lawrence is a better downfield passer. Here's the thing. When you look at what Alabama does, when you look at what Georgia does, when you look at what Oklahoma does, okay, when Dabo looks at Kelly Bryant, he does not see that offense. He does not see that similar offense that those teams that are now going downfield and going downfield really well, especially Alabama now with Tua, especially Jake Fromm at Georgia, especially what Ohio State does. He doesn't see that, but he sees that with Trevor Lawrence, and I think that's why he made the switch. And besides, I think Trevor Lawrence is a better downfield passer. I mean, he may not be as athletic as Kelly Bryant, but he's a better downfield passer. But the larger story is this power switch, and I think this is an interesting rule. I think that you're going to see more and more of these players act as their own, again, presidents of their own companies, right? I'm in charge of myself. I go to Clemson or I go to Ohio State or I go to Oklahoma, but I also want to play. I'm loyal to this program as long as I'm getting what I want out of it. When I'm not getting what I want out of it, I leave. And anybody who says that this is, you know, this is selfish or whatnot, this is how the world works. This is how the world works. Tell me in what scenario where it doesn't work, right? Every one of you that works for a company, I don't care what company it is. If a better offer comes along or a better opportunity comes along, you consider it. You don't always take it, but at least you have the option to consider it. You don't join a company and then say, well, I'm trapped here for 25 years. There's no other place to go. You can move. You can transfer. You can work for somebody else. You can put your services on the open market. That's the way the world works. That's the way college football is going to work with this redshirt rule, especially when it gets like people who are now going to be clamoring for Kelly Bryant. I can't wait to see where he ends up. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. You can hit up Ron at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Thanks to Joe Spano filling in for me yesterday. So I had this a little like health scare a couple of weeks ago where I don't know what happened. I mean, part of me is getting older, but I'm not old. But I had this three combination of, I had chills, numbness, and dizziness all within like a 2 hour time window on a Saturday. I started with the dizziness and I felt like I couldn't stand up and I was like, whoa. And I sat down for a bit and I got some water and I thought it was just maybe some dehydration. I was kind of running around on a Saturday night. Then later that night, when I was laying in bed, I had numbness in my arm and I couldn't feel, like, the whole left side of my arm was numb. And then I had chills, like massive chills. And it was hot. It was like, it's boiling here in Tennessee, or at least was then. And yet I couldn't keep warm. I had to get a winter blanket to put over me. So naturally, because my wife is like, uh-oh. And she is, you know, she was like, you're going to the doctor. So I went to the doctor and he checked me out and everything was fine. But then he was like, no, I need to send you to get some stuff done. So I, you know, worked like blood work and things like that. So I went to go have some tests yesterday morning. I hate blood work. I mean, I hate blood. I mean, I give blood, but I don't like needles. I just don't like needles. But here's the thing. Every time I go get blood work done, or I give blood at a blood drive or whatever, I say to myself, well, I don't like needles. I'm not going to look. And I look every time. They find that vein.
Help it.
And I just cannot turn away. I just stare at it and then pop. And then the thing's filling with blood. And I'm like, ah.
I don't know why I worry about needles. It's just a little prick. It doesn't even hurt. I don't know why I'm bothered by that.
See, I think I would be one of those that if you were to have surgery where they're just going to do local anesthesia, say, you know, right. like if they're moving a your appendix or, you know, doing knee surgery or something like that, it's just local anesthesia. I would almost want to say, like, dude, can I have a mirror? Right. I want to see what the inside of me looks like.
Oh, I know. No kidding.
I'll probably end up puking, and that won't be good for you guys.
Yeah. I'm a guy, and I'm like a lot of guys. I'm like a lot of you out there, probably the same way. It takes a lot for me to go to the doctors, right? I'm not a doctor person. I'm not a hospital person. It takes a lot for me to go. And usually it's because I'm married. And if I wasn't married, half of the things that happen to me would probably still be a problem. My wife will drag me to the doctors. She'll drag me to the emergency room. You know, she just has that instinct that occurs, like something's wrong with you. And I'm like, nah, I'll sleep it off. I'll be fine. And she'll be like, nah, I don't think so. This is bad. And sure enough, like when I had a herniated disc years ago, about 10 years ago, I had herniated disc surgery. And I thought I was just, my neck hurt. My shoulder was really a lot of pain. But I just thought, I'll take some pain pills or, you know, some Advil.
Yeah, popping some Advil.
Yeah, and I'll go to bed and it'll just be fine. I thought I had just slept on it wrong.
Yep.
And sure enough, she just kept going, nope, there's something wrong here. Like, nope, that's not right. And I was putting my arm up in the air, and that was the only way I could relieve it, and I couldn't drive. She's like, nope, I'm taking you now. And we had to get a neighbor, and I'll never forget this. Our next-door neighbor, we're really good friends with them, and she went over there at like 1:30 in the morning on a Friday night, and she woke them up, and she said, I got to take Tony to the emergency room. Would you mind going to our house and sleeping while our kids are in bed? And my neighbor was like, absolutely. So she came over to the house. She slept on the couch and the kids woke up. I was still in the hospital. They came back to me. They go, yeah, you got a herniated disc, man. You got to need surgery for that. And my wife is just looking at me like, yeah, I told you. And I'm like, sleep it off. Yeah,
there's nothing
sure.
worse than that, too. The I told you so face.
Exactly. Like, uh-huh. Sleep it off. Advil and sleep it off, huh?
Yeah,
yep. Okay.
Doubt me, radio boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, that's why, like, over the summer when I had when I was passing a kidney stone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, at Disneyland.
Because for me, it was just like, no, you know, I'll go into the nurse aid or the first aid place at Disneyland and just, you know, just give me a few minutes. I'll catch up with you guys. And it wasn't until where my wife hit panic was when she's like, do you need to go to the do you want to go to the emergency room? And I said, no, but I think I should.
Yeah.
And that just sent all the red flags because I'm just like you. I can't tell you outside the kidney stone the last time I went to the doctor for me.
Yeah, on your own.
On my own. It's been years.
Yep. Yeah, on your own. Well, you did it. You made the point. I mean, my wife has probably saved my life I won't admit that to her, but she's probably saved my life.
No, of course not.
Hold
that over your head. Oh, my God.
Probably five or six times. I mean, it was so.
You'll be massaging her back every day for the rest of your life if you tell her, hey, you saved my life.
I know, right? Exactly.
You saved my life.
So, I mean, I wasn't thinking I had a heart attack or anything. I was just like, something's not right. Like, the three things weren't right. Like, it just didn't feel like the chills bothered me in the middle of the summer. Like, I hate the chills. But it was 95 degrees outside and humid. We have air conditioning on in the house, but I couldn't stay cold. I couldn't stay warm. I mean, I was grabbing a winter blanket and wrapping it around me. And so obviously, so it might be blood sugar. It might be a number of things. I'll find out later, but
that's always fun too.
If something serious comes around, I know if something serious comes around, then my wife will go, see, I told you.
See, I think that's a problem with medical TV shows because
completely
they'll diagnose it and then they'll have an answer within an hour. They don't tell the patient, but they have an answer within an hour. And then, you know, in real life, it's like, well, don't worry. We'll let you know. And it's like 5 days later, you've completely forgotten about it. You get the phone call like, oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, you're going to die. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I remember one time a couple of years ago, because I have a few moles on my back and my wife thought one of them had kind of changed. So we went to a skin doctor and I had it looked at. And then she scraped it to do a biopsy and I completely forgot. And like 5 days later, I was on a golf course and I got this phone call and I was like, hold on, I got to take this. And I took the phone call and it was the doctor. And she's like, well, we ran the biopsy and we didn't detect any cancerous cells or anything. Just wanted to let you. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, did I do that? I was like, I'm so, was I? Oh, really?
Who
oh, thank
is this
you.
Again?
And I was like, yeah. I was like, when did I do that? Oh, a week ago? Oh, yeah, thanks. I was like, wow. I completely had forgotten that I was getting something checked out. It didn't even occur to me that that would be a problem. So, I mean, this is a wild. Doctor's offices are weird, though. Like, my doctor offices, the doctor I go to here in Tennessee, I told you this before. He runs those, the television, the HGTV is always on in the room. Right. So it's always the flip this house,
yep.
Buying a house on the beach, buying a house in paradise, $1 million homes, whatever it is. But when I went to the doctor's office in Nashville to get tests, it was on kids programs. It was on. So I couldn't even be entertained while I was waiting in the waiting room. It was kids programming on. So it was like Daniel Striped Tiger or something like that. It was some kids show.
Yeah, so Daniel Tiger, come on now.
I grabbed a five-week-old People magazine while I was waiting to get into
it. I always go for the highlights, Tony.
Yeah, highlights with Goofus and Gallant. Yep, absolutely. And the magazine has the address of the hotel ripped out, or whoever donated the magazine to the hospital torn off. Yeah, exactly. Well, it was still an educational experience, SB Nation AM.
To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The Minnesota Vikings and the LA Rams tonight. Good Thursday night football game.
Yeah, but they have a lot to live up to.
Is it going to be more fun than watching Baker Mayfield become the quarterback Jesus that he was last week?
Do you think the committee who scheduled all this thought, you know what, we're going to have Browns versus Jets 1 week, and then we're going to follow that up with Vikings Rams?
That's exactly what they did.
But do you think they said, man, Vikings Rams better live up?
Nope, not at all. What they said was, while people will probably go, ugh, then the next week we'll get them right back with a great matchup with Vikings Rams.
Exactly, but
We'll get the Jets and the Browns on national TV and get it done and over with, just like they did with the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars for years. That was a Thursday night staple because nobody wanted them on Monday Night Football at all. Or NBC was like, you ain't putting Jacksonville anywhere near the Sunday schedule.
Yeah, but I'm afraid for this game tonight because I just don't feel last week's game was just fun.
Oh, it was such a blast. I mean, it was such a blast.
And I know I'm setting myself up for disappointment. Like, I'm hoping it's going to be a good game, but then, it's looking at us like, the Vikings just got manhandled by the Bills. I don't know.
It could be.
The Rams just going to roll stomp all over them.
Boy, this Everson Griffin story is incredible, isn't it?
It's so bizarre.
Okay, so he's the defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings, and he freaked out. He basically freaked out the week before last week in their preparation for the Bills game. He went on a screaming tirade. And the team said, why don't you stay away from us and go get your head straight while we prepare for this game? In fact, don't even worry about practice of the game. And then he was arrested, or he was got in trouble with the police for attempting to break into a teammate's home. He's got a mental thing going on.
We're finding all this out because he decided that he was going to shoot up a hotel.
Yeah, and then shut up a hotel.
Threatened to shoot up a hotel.
Threatened to shoot up a hotel. I don't want to give him the ability to do that yet, or accusation that he did that yet. But he
that'll set up some red flags.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. So he's getting assistance for this, I guess. According to the article, no police, no criminal charges are forthcoming. But I don't know. Like, if you're the Vikings and you realize, okay, something's wrong with their play. Like, in 2018, and I'm not trying to get all social justice warrior on anybody here, but is it appropriate to tell somebody to get out of here and go get your head straight when we're dealing with mental illness?
Yeah, we don't want to deal with that. Like,
it's not as easy as it sounds if you don't realize, if you know somebody who has a mental illness, like bipolar or schizophrenia or any of these other things, telling them to go get their head straight, it doesn't work. right? I'll give you an example. My brother is a smoker, okay? My brother smoked for years and years and years. When I talk to him about quitting, he knows, man, this is terrible. My clothes stink. My breath stinks. I hate it, but he's addicted to it. So he does it, but he's aware that he's doing something damaging to his body. He knows that, but he just is addicted to it. And he keeps doing it. Very similar. Like I overeat at times. I know it's, I'm taking in too many calories and I got to lose some weight. But when you have a mental disorder, there's not that part of your brain that recognizes something's wrong. Right? Like there's not that part of the brain for a lot of people. There's not that part of the brain that says, hey, this isn't normal. Get to a doctor. That's why it was a big problem with the homelessness issue for a very long time, because you get these people out of mental facilities and there's no place to go and they still have mental issues and they don't know, or they're not self-aware enough to go, hey, there's something wrong with me. I got to go get this fixed. So go telling him, go get your head straight. I was kind of hoping the Vikings would go, wait, we're noticing something and we might have somebody here that can help you do that instead of just go figure it out. He might have serious, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what the diagnosis would be, but enough to need some real counseling and some real help and maybe some medication. So it's a weird story. Very weird story, but what was the other part of the story where he said God made him do, like when he was breaking into his teammate's house or whatever, he said, God made me do it.
Yeah. It almost sounds, I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would say he was on drugs.
Yeah. He's either on drugs or he has like,
it feels like,
yeah,
it feels like a lot of that's coming from like, oh my God, it's like, you got major drug problems going on, dude. It's just, maybe check into rehab. But it is surprising that the doc, the team was just like, hey, go take care of yourself. I would assume in this day and age, it was like, there's more than just one team doctor NFL teams. Like you have your main guy, but then that guy has like three or four people underneath him.
Yeah. And it's not like working for other companies. Like if you work for some manufacturing plant, they don't have doctors on staff.
No, they don't. Yeah. It's just like, hey, take the day off. And go get your head straight.
But in an NFL team, there are people on staff who could recognize something like this and reach out and help you.
And you'd be surprised if they said, we're assigning this guy. This guy's going to go with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Go get all that taken care of.
Yeah.
Because for the team, I mean, it's like an insurance policy for them.
Sure, exactly.
They have money invested in this guy. If this guy is, unstable, hey, we need to know it as a team, as a business. We need to know what we're dealing with here.
And we want to find out what, is he like when you say leave and go get, what do we do with them, right? How long is that going to take? Do we have to find another person? Do we have to put him on the injured reserve? Do we have to cut him? What's the next step?
If we were to cut him, would that be detrimental to, his recovery?
Exactly.
Is that going to push him over the edge?
Exactly. Will the union be okay with us not treating him? Like, are we going to have to answer for this? Like, are we responsible? There's all sorts of questions you would ask. Some of it may be self-explanatory. Some of them you may know, but that's a little surprising that they said, go home, just go get your head straight. When
you're
yelling and screaming,
you brought up the manufacturing plant.
Explosive.
When you brought up the manufacturing plant, like those guys back in the day, it's like, oh, he's working at the plant. Now go get your head straight, which meant, hey, just head to the bar. Go drink it off.
Oh, yeah. Go drink it off. Yeah, go drown your sorrows of your life in alcohol.
Come back tomorrow.
You'll be fine. Get back on the assembly line. But now it's, it's a lot. It's a little different. But this is.
Yeah, especially since he plays in a position where he's been trained to inflict pain onto others.
Oh, exactly.
And he's probably, and he's been taught the way of leading with your head. So, I mean. CTE could be a real, real problem with him, and he just doesn't know. And turning him loose onto the wild, he doesn't know the avenues to take.
No.
Most of these guys don't know that, hey, I should probably contact this person or contact that person.
Yeah, exactly. This is again, one of those stories that, all right, like, okay, all right. And then it gets weirder and weirder, like the explosive screaming that occurred, and then the trying to break in, and then threatening to fire guns. And I mean, yeah, he's got, I kind of hope he's getting the help he needs. Cause, that's, You know, you just don't want to see a guy slippery slide all the way down there. If he is on drugs, I hope he gets rehab. If he needs medication for a mental illness, I hope he is able to do that too. But it's just a weird story. But tonight's game, nevertheless, should still be a really good one. I don't know. Like, what could top just the pure euphoria of a state or a region that has been dying for just taste a sip from the victory cup that had eluded them for nearly 2 years and getting that with a rookie quarterback?
No, like, it just was a well done
script. Yeah, the Super Bowl victory
last week.
The MVP of the league, Baker Mayfield, taking over by storm. It was just electrifying.
As they marched to the Super
fun.
Bowl in Atlanta this year.
Exactly. Browns have turned that proverbial corner for good. Now that they've who the Browns play this weekend, by the way?
I don't even know.
See, we're not even all on board yet, though. We don't even know who their next victim is going to be. It's the Oakland Raiders on the road in California.
They're going to win that game easily.
I should have remembered that because I remember we were yelling at Hugh Jackson to start Baker Mayfield when he was like, I got to watch the tape. See who starts against Oakland. No, you don't. Not at all. Rams and the Vikings.
And see, I wish that was Thursday night.
Yes, exactly.
I wish the Browns – can't the Browns just play every Thursday night from here on out?
I know. I'm like, this is – for the first time in a while, the Browns are kind of interestingly fun. It kind of – you know, there's a specialness to this run so far that is really kind of captivating. I have to be honest with you. I don't know why, but it's – I mean, Baker Mayfield is one of it. Just the hard knocks is another part. The fan base and the suffering is another part. It's kind of interesting. You put that all together in the big pot of soup of interest, and you've got, you know, you got a delicious chicken noodle, I guess.
Yeah, and if they win this game, the fever's not going to go away.
No,
but if
not
they
at all.
Lose, do we all of a sudden go, oh, yeah, same Browns?
What if they win? What if they keep winning and you get to games late in the season, like against Atlanta? Does that get flexed to Sunday night?
It has to.
The game against the Bengals could be for the division lead or something crazy like that, getting flexed late in the season.
You know, and it's not out of the realm. That's not the possibility just because of, you know, what the AFC North looks like.
Oh, I know.
That we
completely.
Could, if they get hot, we could actually see, you know, something like that occurring, which is beyond anybody's rationale to even think that way.
Yep. So Hugh Jackson makes the move to go with Baker Mayfield, and Dirk Cutter is still deciding whether or not Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to start against the Bears.
Yeah,
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting against the Bears.
So I'm looking over their schedule right now. They should win tonight or Sunday.
Against the Raiders.
Yep. They have good chances against the Ravens.
They do. They do have a good chance against the Ravens.
I mean, here's the thing. You can make
I'm not
an
sold
argument
on Baltimore
for,
quite
you can make
yet.
An argument for every single game. They can't get by the Chiefs.
No, the Chiefs will.
Beginning of November.
Beat them pretty good.
The Falcons. I don't think they stand a chance against the Falcons. Or, you know, the Bengals will be tough. But hey, beginning of December they play against the Texans. That's another win. The Texans can't figure it out.
They could beat Denver. And they got the Raven. They got the Bengals and the Ravens to close out the season.
So I mean, we could. I mean,
we could be riding this fun train all the way through the season. Way to go, Baker Mayfield.
Just do it.
Or they could lose five straight, and we could all be like, well, just another name on the long, long list of quarterbacks.
But they got one win. That's all that matters. In fact, I've said it all along. If they get two wins in the season was a success.
Tonight's game is like back to business, right, for the NFL.
Yeah,
like
last
week was fun story, fun, interesting, human interest story, like, you know.
Crazy outcomes.
Crazy outcome. This is like, okay, back to business. Minnesota, Rams, two of the better teams in the NFC, taking over Thursday Night Football. Should be fun. 800-777-2907. You want to get involved in the program. It is Tony D and Ron Culver and SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I got a quick question. Does anybody ever buy the big animatronics at those Halloween stores that pop up every around this time every year? Like, go to any strip mall in America, and there's always that vacant store that's there 9, 12, you know, 10 months out of the year. But every September, it becomes a Halloween city or a Halloween town.
Spirit city.
Right? And then you go in there because it's like, oh, it's Halloween. Let me go in there and see what they got. And they got costumes, and they got little decorations. But they always have, like, one giant werewolf that, like, is like, you could press buttons and he moves. And then there's another one, like, here's another big spider that will move. Does anybody actually buy those things? They're like a couple hundreds of, they're hundreds of dollars, and then you stick them out in your front. Does anybody actually buy a big gigantic werewolf to put in the front yard on Halloween?
You know, maybe if you do like it, if the annual Halloween party is at your house,
maybe
you'll do
so.
It. Or if you have the, if you have the haunted house in your house.
Maybe so. What's the return policy on that? Can I come November 1st and go, this werewolf wasn't exactly what I wanted. Can I please return the werewolf?
We used the hell out of it, but.
It just didn't scare enough people. Yeah. Thanks. Can I return? It's like buying a big TV and then returning it after the Super Bowl. Can I please return this werewolf November 1st? What's the werewolf policy? I don't know. There's just one in my town, and my wife loves Halloween, so she's like, I want to go. And I'm like, why? She's like, what do you want? A witch's cauldron? What do you want? What do you want from the Halloween store?
I go for the costumes.
I do too.
Not for me, for what I like to imagine. Other people wear
right.
It's when like, I was what it reminds me of. It's like, you know, dating myself here, but it's like getting like, you know, the mall catalog.
Oh, remember that? Yeah, remember that? You're looking through the toy section, like circling all the things you want.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden you get to the lingerie section. You're like, hey, hello.
Yeah. That's true. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we didn't have this stuff readily available to us. We had to wait certain months out of the year.
Exactly. Good point. Good point. Halloween's coming up. I'm going to give out full candy bars this year.
Oh, man.
I'm
going trick-or-treating at your house. I'll let you know when I'm there. Can you just leave a big bowl of them?
Yeah, I know.
You know, and then leave that sign that says, take one, please.
I'm going to the Costco, and I'm going to buy full-size candy bars just to show off. Well, see if the rest of my
that ensures your house will not get egged.
That is very true. That is very true. I don't know. I want to be that guy at Halloween where all the kids go, oh, man, he gave out full-size Hershey bars, because I want to be like, yeah, of course I did.
Oh, the kids in the neighborhood, you got to go over to that house.
Exactly.
Full-size.
You want, go get your fun-size Snickers over there at Old Man Johnson's. Come over here to Tony D's. I'm giving out full-size Kit Kats because I love Halloween. I love all of you, too.